everyone. Welcome. You know where you're at. You're listening to Mind Blowing Decisions, where we talk about life, love, and relationship. I am your host tonight, Nishan L., and we have our guest and our co-host, our station manager, Gigi Watson. And we're going to go right into it. We got a very, very exciting show for you tonight. Our show is all about Terrence Hutchison tonight. So I can't wait because this is so near and dear to me that I just think that it is definitely a story to be told. And we so appreciate Terrence coming on and coming into the studio with us and sharing his experience. Let me just give y'all a little background. Terrence Hutchison was diagnosed with type 2 diabetes in 2009 that almost put him in a diabetic coma. If y'all know anything about diabetes, it's serious. Like, he was in ICU for 3 days and during the time lost 40 pounds from lack of appetite and frequent urination. After 2 months of recovery, Terrence educated himself about proper nutrition and exercise and launched his personal training business. Terrence Hutchison is the owner of Your Best Life Fitness and Nutrition. I'm so proud and so happy to announce that he is here with us, and we are just excited to have him. Welcome, welcome, welcome.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate you guys.
Yeah, welcome. How you doing?
I'm great. I'm great. I can't complain, man. God is good. I really can't complain.
That's the truth. Now, you was in ICU for 3 days. The sugar levels was off the charts. Wow. Like, you was almost in a coma. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, it was about three and a half days. It started from moving from New York after the divorce and getting rid of everything, dissolving everything from my divorce. So I was like 39 years old, moving to Atlanta to live with my mom's, you know, coming from multiple properties and businesses and, you know, a 5-bedroom, 2-bath home, and to live with my mom's at 39, I kind of fell into a depressing state. And so in Atlanta, I just started, you know, partying, hanging out, and just trying to suppress thing that I just went through. So within 3 years of doing all that, just partying from Alabama, Kentucky, any city that was close to Atlanta, Atlanta's the hub, and I was down in Miami. And I was just like, I was suppressing the depression. I didn't know at the time that I was depressed, but I did know that I was angry, I was frustrated, I was irritable. And those are the symptoms of depression in men. And I didn't know that. And so I was in Miami hanging out, and I was in the pool, and I started feeling weird. You know, I was like, something is right. I had blurry vision, I had slurred speech, I had lack of appetite. But I was thirsty, and my sugar was really high, and I was feeding that thirst with, you know, more alcohol, more sodas, because I couldn't figure out why my mouth was so dry, and I was just adding to the glucose level. So after of a day dealing with that, I started to feel my weight coming down, and I told people I was with, I said, well, we got to go back to Atlanta. So on the way back to Atlanta, every 20 minutes, I had to tell them to pull over because I had to urinate. And I'm like, what is going on? That kind of freaked me out because I never had that. One of the side effects of high type 2 diabetes is frequent urination. And I was like, pull over, pull over. And they was like, look, man, we're trying to get back. We can't be pulling over every 20, 30 minutes so you can go pee. And, you know, it's like, it didn't matter if it was at a rest area or it was in the bushes on the side of the road. I know I needed to pee, you know. And,
right. And so, serious. You can't help yourself.
I can't help it. But, you know, I didn't know what was going on. But by the time we got back to Atlanta, probably like a day later, you know, all that stop and go. And I set up, I went to work, and an older person I was managing, she was like, "You look so small. What's going on?" And I was like, "I don't know. I don't feel well." And she said, "You know what? You could have diabetes." And I just looked at her because I wasn't educated about that disease. And I just looked at her and yelled at her. I'm like, "Get out of my face. You know, what are you talking about?" You know? And sure enough, I set up an appointment, and they couldn't see me till like a day or so later. And I got back to the house, and I said, "Okay, I'm just going to rest." I tried to eat, couldn't eat. You know, lack of sleep, blurry vision, confusion. You know.
Mm-hmm.
And the next morning, I woke up. I'm getting ready for my appointment, and I smelled death in the air. I was in the bathroom. I was like, "Man, I recognize this
smell."
You know,
wow.
And I was like, "No, I'm not. That's not going to happen to me." So I took a quick shower, got in the car, raced up the road. Like, my doctor's office was like 12 minutes away. By the time I got there, I just passed out in the lobby. And
I know that's
they called. It was real scary. And they called my doctor's. I called 911, and 911 came. And they was like, "You know what's going on with you?" I was like, "Man, they said it's diabetes." They said, "Man, I don't know why you still alive." They checked my glucose number. My glucose numbers was a 1360, and my A1C was a 9.5.
Oh, wow. You was at death's doorstep.
Yeah.
I had my own experience, Terrence, and I really respect your dedication and your self-awareness that something was amiss with you. And all those signs that you just talked about, it's not just a male thing. It is an autoimmune deficiency. And, you know, and you do have a frequent urination, whether it's hypo or hypoglycemia, it's real. And it's something that we need to pay attention, because a lot of people are not aware of what their body is telling them. So they will pass, you know, kind of like push it off. But when your sugars is out of control to that point, and you over a 6 in your A1Cs, it is dangerous. You don't even know that you may not even wake up. Thank you so much for sharing with us your story and your recovery. Oh my God! I mean, I'm glad for myself that I'm still here. I was driving and passing out, so I respect what you have worked at losing, you know, not that you tried to lose the 40 pounds at first, but that because of the ICU, you was happened to be in that position where you could lose the weight to help you gain everything back.
Yeah. It's funny because the ambulance, that was one of the most expensive rides I ever took in my life. That was like $1,200.
For sure.
You know, and they only took me 2 traffic stops.
Yeah.
I was like, "What now?"
That bill
you
is
know,
something
but,
else.
Yeah. But 5 of us checked in at the local hospital here, and only 1 person checked out, and that was me. And I hated needles as a child, even up to my young adulthood. So now you coming into the room and you're injecting me with insulin and pricking my fingers. Like, I said, "Man, what is going on?" And the crazy thing that about it all is that I didn't have an appetite. They didn't feed me no food. They gave me saline solution and crushed ice for 2 days. And that was the best tasting ice I ever had.
Yes.
You know, until your taste buds come back. But when you recover your taste buds, that ice is the nastiest taste. You know, it's like, what is this? It's horrible. But I was grateful for it. And but you know, the funny thing that really got me to think about, you know, my life is because I tell this story all the time. My mess became my message. And I was like, "Man," I was praying with IVs in my eyes. I said, "Lord, okay, get me out of this one. I'm going to be straight. I'm going to do what I got to do." And he got me out of it. But what's crazy, do you know that over 30 million Americans right now are diagnosed with type 2 diabetes. Diabetes, diabetes maintenance right now as of 2018 is over $327 billion a year business.
Mm-hmm.
And they, when I was in the hospital, even to this day, I listen to the things like the Diabetes Association, mm-hmm. got a lot of diabetic educators. You know, they preach a good game, but they want you to stay hooked on that medicine so they can get money.
Tell it.
You know, and it's a huge business. These big pharma companies, man, they keep you locked in. They want you conditioned to say, oh, here's how to cope with diabetes. Here's how to maintain diabetes. They never tell you about reversal. They never really tell you. They never really told me or educated me about reversal. The dietitians came into the hospitals. They gave me these booklets and pamphlets to read, where to inject
mm-hmm.
yourself, what type of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You can go get a prescription right now in the pharmacy, and they got the diabetic sauce, they got the lotion, they got the candy, they got the
everything.
Everything. They got the glasses right there for you.
Market.
You're going to spend the average diabetic sufferer spend an average of over $8,000 a year just on maintenance.
So enough.
Yeah. They prescribed me the medicine called Lantus for diabetes. It just came out during the time when
mm-hmm.
CLS came out. And I had great insurance, but it didn't cover this medicine. So if you got a pen in front of you, you can hold a pen in your hand, and in a box, it's five pens in a box that has like three, I think it was like five doses of 30 milligrams of the insulin. You have to turn it and then inject it, but it's reusable. Okay. It wasn't insulin that came in a valve, but you had to pull it out with a syringe. And those five pens was $166 per week with no insurance. And so when you do the math, it's like $166 a week times 4 weeks, that's around $644 or something like that. And now you're doing it for, that's a month. So you're doing it times 12 months. It comes around close to $8,000 a year just on maintenance. And that's just for the medicine. That's not for anything else you may need. So I started
only
thinking,
for the insulin.
Yeah.
Not even for the pill.
Right. Yeah, do the math. I was like, man, they're going to put me in poverty with this medicine. And I started researching, educating myself, and I realized that there are other communities out there who encourages diabetes reversal. When I found out, one of them was the D-Life community, which is a Die for Diabetic Life. And I learned so much on that thing. And I got back in school, and I got back into my background is culinary arts and hospitality management. Mm-hmm. So I was a personal chef for years. So I got into sports nutrition, personal training, all these different things. And I realized that, wow, these people was telling me how to reverse type 2 diabetes, and my doctors and dietitians were not.
Once
I learned the game, I was able to save $8,000 to $10,000 a year, put it right back in my pocket. And this is what I teach people to do, how to do now. Like, you don't have to spend all this money. I'll teach you the tips and strategies that you too can use to reverse type 2 diabetes and save you a ton of money.
Yeah.
You know, diabetes maintenance, I feel personally and professionally, is a ripoff. You know, but here's the kicker. If you suffer from diabetes type 2 and you're not aware of what's going on as far as the game, you are going to feel like you can, as long as you're popping metformin or shooting injections,
mm-hmm.
you feel like you can do what you want to do, eat what you want to eat, and you're going to be okay. That's how they condition you. Yeah, do what you want. The average diabetic sufferer, by the time they go to their doctor, they got problems with gangrene. They got to amputate something, blurry vision, you know, all that stuff. They still got the complications. You know, these doctors, they're going to be like, well, you're not doing what you're supposed to be doing, which is like eating right and working out, but you're not really giving them a plan. And so I had to really get back on my game. And I went and I said, look, I did everything y'all said you had to do. I said, I stopped going to the doctor, to be honest with you. I said, man, I feel great. I ain't going because y'all are taking all my money. Now, I wouldn't suggest people to do what I did, you know, but when that time they was calling me. By the time I went back, which was like 2 years later, they said, yeah, we're going to suggest that we take you off. Because they were seeing me on social media, what I was doing and everything. So my doctor was real cool. So they took me off the medicine, man. I was off diabetes maintenance close to 8 years now.
That's awesome. Amazing. That is such a great story to tell. And that's why I'm so, because, again, having it in my family, not based on because of, it was passed down or it was hereditary or anything like that, because of life stresses and poor diet, you know, lack of drinking enough water, paying attention to the signs that I first started getting, because I started off with hypoglycemia and they couldn't detect it. Well, they didn't detect it for years, but I knew something was wrong. And I kept going back trying to make sure that that I would be able to be in front of them. And it wasn't until I got blood clots, I had a ruptured Achilles tendon, and a blood clot went to my heart, that I was even diagnosed with diabetes. So I'm grateful for you telling the story about how you overcame this this infectious, you know, business, because that's what it is, and they just want a cap on it. Appreciate you sharing that. And if you will, so when you was training for the when you were training for the nutrition, culinary and all of that, you didn't recognize then that you were being prepared because you was just not in tune. You was just something you was doing. How did that happen?
Well, like I said, I was always around food. I had to prepare myself to eat the right foods all of a sudden, like paying attention to the glycemic index, trying to figure out what foods were high in sugar naturally versus in other foods. Like you say, like fruits. Like I love watermelon, but I know it's high in sugar. I love grapes, but it's high in sugar.
And, you know, they tell diabetics to eat watermelon, that is supposed to control it. Yeah, no.
No. You have to stick with, like, you know, berries and apples. Like, I tell people all the time, if you go back to the Adam and Eve days, apples been around since then, you know. And you go back all the way up to wartime, apples is one of those fruits. Like, it's high in fiber and is really good with antioxidants. So it's going to control your blood glucose level. So I ate a lot of apples. I thought I was a horse at one time. I ate some other apples. And I hated water. Then I started drinking a whole lot of water. And I just started paying attention to the glycemic index. I started reading my butt off. The internet is your friend a lot of times. You can research a lot of things. It really brings great information that you can use and incorporate that into your daily activities of daily living. And I maintain my stress. That's the main thing.
Yes.
You know, like you just mentioned, your stress levels. Your stress levels are really going to activate the bad cortisol hormones, you know, what's going to really raise up your fat cells. And then when you're stressed, most likely, depending on who you are in your DNA profile, you may start to overeat, binge eat, maybe lack of you may not eat, you may drink, you may do all type of things, you know, that it's going to escalate your blood glucose level. Even lack of sleep, and lack of sleep controls the appetite, or have you eaten more or eaten less. But, you know, it's just a vicious cycle. So if you don't understand what's going on with your body, what your triggers are as far as stress, not just what, but who, you know, you're going to end up in the dire spiral for with diabetes. You can change. It's a lifestyle disease. Now, that's type 2, but everybody knows that type 1 is juvenile, okay? So you're born with that, and you can't do anything really about that except maintain it. But also, there's a type 3 diabetes. You know, a lot of people are not familiar with type 3 diabetes, which is dementia or Alzheimer's disease. People don't
talk
about
type 3. They don't know the correlation to that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they don't know. And when I mention that to people, they'd be like, type 3? Yeah, and it's like it's dementia or onset Alzheimer's disease, where you start to feel like, you know, you can't remember things, and, you know, you have blank outs or whatever. But it only comes out really when your type 2 diabetes is way out of control. And what escalates that if you have a family history of Alzheimer's, a dementia, and all those different things like that. So you have to focus on proper nutrition for real, and then exercising the brain, once again, controlling your stress, exercising the body, and really make sure that your body and mind has a great connectivity so you're not spending thousands of dollars a year on medicine that you may not need and all these different things. Because now we all know once the medicine gets prescribed, they're not really going to tell you the side effects of most of these medicines.
Medicine is serious.
Yeah, it's something serious. So it's like you have to be an educated patient. You have to say, okay, you want me to take this med? You have to ask the questions, you know, whether it's the doctor or the pharmacist.
Right.
Are you going to have to go to Google and say, okay, everything is on Google. You're going to have to Google what the side effects of these meds are. And a lot of times the side effects of these meds is going to be a weight gainer. And if you gain weight, then reversing type 2 diabetes is going to be a struggle. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? So
you're feeding the purpose.
It doesn't matter what you're going through medically, for modern medicine, it's going to be some type of side effect to it. So one thing affects another, everything affects everything else. So what we have to learn to do is go back to the way our ancestors ate. Like, you know, we ate from the sea, we ate from the land, we ate from the sky, we ate from the garden to the table, we ate from the vines, and we drank water. We didn't, you know, we didn't have all the sugary stuff and all the processed stuff. And when I grew up in the 80s, 70s, and 80s, we grew up in a microwave era, in a box era, like everything was Zatarain's and macaroni and cheese and shake and bake and fried and grandma was getting
down. That's what we grew up on.
That's what we grew up on. We didn't have all that information and the resources we have now. So if grandmama had diabetes, grandmama got diabetes, but we didn't know anything about all that. You know, but you definitely can reverse type 2 diabetes right now. If you just, it's going to take hard work. It's going to take sacrifices, and you have to do it because they're not going to
definitely
really let you off the medicine.
I appreciate you so much, Terrence. I mean, that was a mouthful right there. We have some callers on the line. I want to just check in with the callers because what you're sharing with us is so important, and it affects so many people. Even if a person is not, you know, dealing with diabetes themselves, they are connected to someone who is either what they call borderline diabetes. Like you said, Alzheimer's is connected to that. Dementia is connected to that. Like I was, when I got diagnosed, I recall just always being foggy. You know, my mind couldn't, I could focus and then I would go down. My sugars would drop so fast. I didn't realize what was happening to me. And I would keep pushing and keep pushing and keep pushing, you know, get some water, get something sweet to snack on real quick. And mm-hmm. some of the time, I will say that I will gravitate towards the fruits, but I wasn't into the berries, which was hurting me more than anything in the world because I'm thinking, oh, you're eating healthy, you know, eating oranges and apples and bananas and grapes. And I was doing medleys of fruit, and it was just making things worse. And like you had an experience on the road, I had an experience on the road as well. And it's so important that we, you know, we get to talk about these things because it on the medicine, it affects your digestive system. It causes irritable bowel syndrome. It causes so many different discomforts and diseasement that it's worth having a conversation. So, Terrence, thank you so much for sharing your story with us and letting us know how important it is to be educated and to pay attention to the way we eat. You know, nutrition is everything for our future. You know, if we want to remain here, you know, in good health and good spirit, because diabetes will cause you to second-guess yourself. Personally, you know, I didn't want to go outside. You know, I didn't want to be around people because I just felt some kind of way. I was having issues, and my skin changed, and, you know, it just became a whole, like, you know, let me get a grip on this. So thank you again.
Ms. Shine.
Y'all listening to, yes.
I'm glad Terrence right there brought this up because my grandmother right there had diabetes too.
Okay.
And she right, and she was going, she had to eat grapefruit. Grapefruit, all diet stuff. She couldn't have no sugar, no salt, or nothing.
Yeah. Grapefruit, you know, if you look at the, if you pull up the glycemic index right now, grapefruit is a citrus fruit. It's great for weight loss, but the sugar content,
right,
just like an orange, it's a little higher.
Right.
Here, you know, so you have to really monitor, you know, it's all natural sugar. It's I'm going to tell you, it's so much information out there that you can read and you have to shift through. What may work for me may not work for somebody else. You got to find out, you know, what's your best fit, because diabetes is not a one-size-fits-all. It's not a cookie-cutter disease, you know, but they try to treat you like one or manage it like one. So you have to find a program and foods that really fit you. And people don't understand
Absolutely.
That, you know, like, you know, they get on the medicine. I see people go to cookouts and eat ribs and barbecue chicken and macaroni and cheese
mm-hmm.
and all that stuff like that. And they overdo it and go right in the bathroom and shoot up the insulin. I'm like, what are you doing? You know? And so you have to, I'm going to tell you something. You have to exercise. Okay, now here's the deal. If you're type 2 diabetic, you need to exercise. You need to work the body out. Now, if your glucose number, if you prick your fingers, you say, hey, I want to work out. You prick your finger and you check. It's important that you check. And it's, your numbers are below 80 or 70 or something like that, you
mm-hmm.
need to eat something. Do not go work out.
That's right.
You know, because your blood glucose level may raise and you're going to pass out right there. Now, you mentioned you hypoglycemia. It shouldn't be dropping that low anyway. Okay? So, now, if you prick your finger and your blood glucose level is over 250 to 300, you should not go work out. You need to set your butt in a corner somewhere until your numbers come down, okay? Because exercise can help you, but it's also dangerous if you don't know your numbers. And I had to
That's
really
right.
pay attention to that until I start to understand my body. Now, some of the people that I know, they call me in the morning and say, hey, my blood glucose level this morning is over 300. I'm freaking out. I'm like, what did you have to eat last night? Oh, I hung out last night and I had this and I had that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, well, that's why, you know, two things your body's going to do at night when you go to bed. It's going to go into a fasting mode and a dehydration mode. This is why when you wake up in the middle of the night or in the morning, you feeling parched, you need some water, your body is in. If you eat a heavy meal, heavy carb, potatoes, rice, and all that, bread, and then you go to bed like an hour or two after that, your body, of course, your glucose number is going to be 200 to 250 to 300. And then you're going to call your doctor, and the doctor is going to increase your medicine. You're not paying attention. Another thing is that when you schedule your physical or your checkup with your doctor, you make sure that you set that appointment up as early as you possibly can in the morning, and you do a fasting visit that night before. So it's, your cut-up time is like 3 hours before bedtime or whatever. You drink water, and then you go to that appointment early in the morning. Do not let your doctor set an appointment up for you mid-morning. You done had breakfast. Mm-hmm. Now you're in there. Mm-hmm. They checking your blood. Guess what? You're pre-diabetic.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I'm saying? So that's what I'm saying. Like, people don't pay attention to when they go to their doctor's appointments. You know, they eat and then they go. Most of their doctors don't say, hey, you need to fast before you come in here. Most people,
which
they try to fast.
It's the practice that everyone that has to do any blood work needs to always, like you said, prepare the night before by eating by, you know, no later than 7, 8 o'clock, making sure that the last thing that you have is some water to make sure that you have flushed your system. And you wake up in the morning, you take care of yourself, and you drink only water and go to your fasting lab. That's how you need to practice healthy living lifestyle choices, because you cannot continue in the same manner and think that you're going to change or get better. It's only going to get worse. You'll lose your eyesight. You'll lose your foot. You'll lose your, you know, like people take walking for granted, taking seeing for granted until they are suffering with these conditions, you know, with neuropathy urinary tract infections continuous because they don't know how to really manage this particular disease or any disease for that matter, because they never, you know, took the time to really care for self. So I appreciate you.
Yeah.
And Terrence, y'all listening to Terrence Hutchison. I mean, he is the host. Oh my God. He's the host tonight anyhow, right here with us. And we appreciate him. Of Your Best Lifestyle with Terrence Hutchison. It's available on Spotify. Senior VP of Operations for Defiance One Team Magazine and a motivational speaker. He definitely is. He's motivating me to even pay attention more so to, because again, having a balanced diet is everything, because no one person is the same. And so you got to know what your body is saying it can't handle. Right now my body is rejecting, like, meat, you know. So my diet is consisting of me eating a lot of vegetables. It is consist of me drinking more water than I ever have, alkaline-based, cutting out the carbs, completely letting go sugar for the most part. I mean, I think I do it every now and then, but you know, it's good to hear another person who have been there and have recovered. So now, Terrence, for our listener audience, where are your diabetes at now? Completely gone?
I would say completely gone. I'm not on any meds. It's been 8 long years since I've been on medicine. Now, however, I still suffer from hypoglycemia too. Like, if my sugar drops, I don't have to check my blood glucose or nothing. I know the symptoms when my sugar
you
drops.
You know the,
like,
symptoms. You
my,
feel it.
Yeah. If my sugar, like, I have to eat every 2 to 4 hours. I got to snack on something or have a meal.
That's important.
That's important to control your blood levels. Now, if I go too long without eating, my left eye go to twitching. I might get irritable. I might feel like I'm confused, or my speech may even start to slur. So I know to prevent that crash, like I call it a first aid kit. I have a backpack with me. I always got trail mixes, a protein powder, a fresh fruit, apples, bananas, something that I can bite in, I'll peel in just once. I can rip open. It's important, especially when I'm out speaking in front of people. I want to have great cognitive awareness, but when your sugar drops to a dangerous low point, you're not thinking clearly. You really don't have that mental clarity. So that's one thing that diabetes left me. When it went, it left me. It left that scar. I still wear reading glasses because of it every once in a while. Like right now, I'm reading something while I talk with you guys. I still have to wear glasses. Before the diabetes, I had 20/20. My sugars were so high in my lens. And, you know, I never had a problem with watching my feet and have no problems with my feet. You know, you got to... My eyes, they put me in the 3-1 bifocus because I couldn't see. And then when my sugar dropped, you know, I was able, those glasses was $950.
It ain't no joke.
Yeah, it's no joke. So, you know, when I came out of ICU, they had me all set up with an eye doctor, foot doctor, all type of doctor. These were specialists too, and you know my insurance didn't really. I had to pay the $500 deductible. I said, "Man, how am I going to do all this?" So I said all that to say this: most people complain about eating healthy. It costs too much. I said, if you think that costs too much, you get sick or injured. You're going to see the difference in pricing immediately because. One aspirin may cost you $10. You know, and educate people. I said the reason why fresh produce costs so much in the store because you're paying for the farmer, you're paying for refrigeration, you're paying the workers, you're paying for gas, for transportation, you're paying for storage. You got to pay for all that. So just to say, if Florida's come up from, I mean, oranges come from Florida to Atlanta, I just going to get to Atlanta. You're going to have to pay for all those things in between. That's why oranges cost so much. That's why fresh fruits and vegetables cost too much. You got to pay for the pesticide. You got to pay for, you know, refrigeration, gas to get it here. You know, you got to pay for all these things. It's not like food is in a box where you go. You can go to the dollar store and get box food for a dollar, you know, and feed a family of four, you know. But you talk about high sodium and additives and preservatives just to make sure that shelf life is stable. So I do suffer from low blood sugar, but I've been working with it for so long. I'm like, oh, I gotta eat. Even my people be like, you looking kind of confused. Did you eat? And I'd be like,
You look a little gray, huh?
You know what I'm saying? I can feel it. You can feel it. I can feel it, you know, and it's like, you know, but here's the kicker. Every once in a while, like, people don't tell you sugar or candy, hard candy is your friend because you might be in a pinch and you may not have no food and your sugar will drop. You need that candy. You see, you need that. Let me tell you something. It's so funny. You ever seen the Snicker commercial when they say, not feeling like yourself?
Right. I knew where you was going.
When your sugar drops, you feel irritable. Because, see, that Snicker bar is 25 grams of sugar. And it's milk chocolate. And it has peanuts in there. But, you know, that's where they get, that's how they market you. You can go any checkout line at any store that sells
and
food.
And find a snake.
At the counter. They already know. They already know. But see, that Snicker, if you get caught in a pinch, just like orange juice and Coca-Cola, you get caught in a pinch, you need those things. And so you have to pay attention on, you know, how you're living, what you're doing. Always keep things in a bag with you, you know, like trail mixes, but the healthy stuff, you know. And
the healthy stuff, some dried cranberries, some raisins, some mixed nuts, some kind of trail.
Okay. let me break that down. Okay. So the dry fruit is really higher in sugar. Okay.
It truly is.
Yeah, so you don't want to eat too much of that. The raisins are high in sugar.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's good for the fiber and everything like that, but they'll tell you only have a small little bit of raisins. Same thing with grapes. Only have like 17 grapes. Anything that's like over 17 grams of sugar, you should not be eating. Okay. 17 grams or lower, that's okay. They say, oh, you can have some chips, but you can only have 17 pieces of potato chips.
Mm-hmm.
Now, who in their right where I only going to eat 17?
Eat the whole bag.
You're going to eat the whole bag. Okay.
A whole bag
of chips. You know? But see, they tell you to stay away from it. And then I'm going to tell you, there's so much information out there. Like, once I say, you have to find what works best for you and get some guidance and say, you know what, I tried it, it don't work for me, I'm going to try something else. And once you get your groove and you start listening to your body, controlling your stress and increasing your water and exercise, then you'd be like, okay, I'm good. You know, diabetes will take you up out of here.
Don't ever have to wake up. You can pass out. People think you sleep.
Yeah.
You know, and you don't want into a coma. I worry about that. Well, it's not really a worry, but it is definitely something that I have to pay attention to, and I have to keep reminding my husband. I have to keep reminding my sons. You guys think that I went to sleep and I crashed. You know, either my sugar dropped too fast or it went up too fast. Either way, I came down, I crashed. Wake me up. Pay attention to me.
Mm-hmm. Prevent that. You got to think about your activity levels during the course of the day, every 5 hours, where you're going to be. Like most people have a sedentary career. They're working at a desk.
Yep.
So you know you can't overeat, okay? Most people, they're doing other things, you know, that may prevent them from eating. So you got to say, okay, today I'm going to be over here. I'm not going to have that much chance to eat. So let me get up early and prepare my breakfast. Let me get my snacks going. So that way I'm going to prevent a crash. 2 to 4 hours after that, if I get hungry, you know, what part of town am I on?
It's a big job taking care of yourself with diabetes.
Uh-huh.
You have to plan your day. You cannot leave the house without it. You cannot, you know, somebody call you, you're going to have to say, hey, wait, let me check in with myself and see how I'm doing. Get this water, get my bag together if it ain't already together because you didn't plan on going out. It is really, truly a life-changing circumstances. I mean, if you don't know yourself, you don't know your body, and you haven't, certain things will cause you with diabetes, can cause you, especially with the medicine, can cause you an adverse effect, like, you know, like with grapefruits, usually if you got diabetes, you're taking blood pressure medicine. Blood pressure medicine and grapefruits don't mix. They tell you that. So you got to really be conscious and you got to be educated. Terrence Hutchison, you guys, right here on Mind Born Defense, where we talk about life, love, and relationship. And this is real talk tonight. And usually we're laughing and we're joking. You know, we're fussing, cussing, and all that good stuff. But this is serious. Your health is all that you have outside of your word. So you want to manage it well, manage and love yourself.
Yeah. It's so important that we practice self-care, because if you do not practice self-care and something happened to you, now you potentially become a liability to your loved ones. Okay.
Yes.
You're not an asset anymore. So that means that you increasing their stress levels. Because, God forbid, if your blood pressure too high and you catch a stroke, whoever, your husband, your whoever it is, mm-hmm. is going to have to help you now. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
So I work with stroke victims. I see it all the time. I'm like, Lord, I said, let me maintain. Let me do this. Let me do that. Because his whole life has changed. Their whole life changed.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you become a liability to others, most likely, depending on who you are and your family members are, you may get neglected. You may not get the quality care
mm-hmm.
that you
That's
think
true.
That people are going to get you. You see what I'm saying? So
That's
when you
true.
Get ill or injured, quality of life is different now. Everything slows down.
Yeah.
Okay. Everything
your
slows down.
Your metabolism slows down. Your thinking process slows down.
Your life slows down.
Now, your life slows down. Seriously.
Yeah, your life
oh,
your
wow.
life slows down. So you think if you crash right now, you won't be able to do this podcast. You're not feeling
yeah.
well. Somebody else will have to
yeah.
do it. You won't be feeling your best self.
And,
you won't
you know,
be able
people
to go
that
to work.
Terrence, the thing of that is that we're educating people now who don't know, who's just now coming into, some folks just coming into realization that they have something wrong with them and just being diagnosed for the first time. I know it was really frightening for me. Can you share with our listeners, some of the phobias in your mind that take place? I know you talked about the depression, but some of the scariness that happens, you know, taking a step and being just so overwhelmed with just dizziness. You know, you're trying
yeah.
to hold on to the wall.
Yeah. I mean, for me personally, I thought it was a death sentence at first.
Yes.
You know, with all the information they throw at you, you got to look for the injection spots in the stomach, the fatty spot.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you're gonna have to inject yourself with insulin for the rest of your life. You can't eat this, you can't eat that. Now imagine growing up with your favorite foods and you can't eat anymore. They're gonna tell you you got to do this, and you got to do that. Every time you eat, you got to check your blood. You got to do this.
Yeah.
And they, you know, it's a scary thing because you go from living your life wholeheartedly to, mm-hmm. you know, pumping the brakes like, oh, I can't do this, I can't do that, I can't even have a drink now, you know, because
right,
you
right.
know, and yeah, you know, so it's like you got to pop the medicine, you got to inject yourself. Now you're scared to eat. I know for me, I was scared to eat.
Oh yeah,
you know, I was like,
oh,
yeah,
damn.
I'm scared to eat. I don't
I'm
know what to do,
to
you know. Yeah, you know. But, you know, yeah, you
Ooh,
know, I'm
not
scared
because somebody's
to go hang
gonna
out.
Hurt
I'm
me.
Scared.
Just because my body may turn on me. It may cause me anything. I mean, my sight can just drop depending on where I am. The sun can affect you, you know, on different medications. It's a lot that goes into this. It's serious.
But I know nutrition. Don't go on no fad diets and all that stuff like that. It's not
mm-hmm.
going to work. But proper nutrition, pay attention to the glycemic index, see what foods are high in sugar versus not, and then incorporate once in a while. Lots of water, exercise, stress management. If you need the meds, obviously take the meds, but always consult with your doctor, let them know how you're feeling, and recognize your symptoms and signs. If you're getting better, you're getting worse. It's
mm-hmm.
type 2 diabetes. It's not a death sentence.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, it can be reversed. It doesn't have to be managed for the rest of your life. Now if you just it's unmanageable because you're not doing what you're supposed to be doing, then there
right.
you go. You got to do it for the rest of your life. But I'm here
right.
to tell the world that, you know, just imagine if I said earlier over 30 million people in America are diagnosed with diabetes. Now, if we get this message out to 30 million people on diabetes reversal, how many of them would even take heed to my word or listen to my story? That they're too conditioned now over the years. They've been diabetic for
uh-huh.
10 years. You know,
well,
I wonder why
I
they can't.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's
it's,
serious.
It's,
that's it's about changing your mindset and getting informed
yeah.
on how to live. Because I had to make mm-hmm. a choice. Do I want you know, like it was so bad. My diabetes was so out of control that they couldn't even get a reading when they first diagnosed me. I was like, who are you talking to? You coming in here with that insulin? That ain't for me. You got the wrong patient.
We in denial.
Oh, completely. Like, wait, I couldn't possibly have that. And the shock of it, I had to come to grips that, hey, you got kids. You know, you got something to live for. If you can't find the strength in yourself to be here for you, you can't be selfish and check out of here carelessly because of eating habits, of not being able to make a decision to put people out your life that don't belong there. I mean, these are life choices that have to be made. So my motto is always telling people, you can change. You don't have to stay in the state you're in, because I made a decision to live. I wasn't finna die. And I wasn't gonna take that medicine forever.
That. But you know how many Americans out here right now who do not have that attitude, and you know what? They every month they in the pharmaceutical places getting their medicine.
Mm-mm.
Okay. But here's the deal. Now, as I got more in tune and more involved into the medical part of the disease and fitness, mm-hmm. or the medical fitness, I came to realize that the side effects on some medicines that people are on cause the weight gain. They want to lose the weight. They want to work out. They want to eat right. However, the medicine is preventing that because they need it for some other issue. So it's a catch 22. Now, just to say you have a thyroid issue, right, and they put you on a medicine that has a steroid component, that's a weight gainer. Now, with that being said, when your thyroid is acting up, you're super fatigued. You don't have no energy.
Right.
You okay?
Ooh, talk about that.
Yeah, so now you got the medicine, the steroids for the thyroid, that's going to, as a weight gainer, you may put up 30, 50 pounds, and you're tired now. That's just like walking around with a 50-pound sack of potatoes over your shoulder every day. Mm-hmm. You wasn't always like that. That medicine blew you up. You want to lose weight, you want to exercise, but you just don't have the energy to do it. So it's a vicious cycle. So it's like we have to talk more to our primary physicians. We have to talk more to our clinical practitioners to say, this is what it is. What can I do this and how can I do that to get myself together so I'm here for my grandkids? Because when you get diagnosed with anything like that, the main goal should be for your last name and not your first name.
Okay.
Especially if you're 40, 50, 60 years old.
That's right.
It's not about you anymore.
That's
okay?
Right.
So I tell people all the time, what type of grandparent you want to be? You want to be the grandparent that's stuck on the porch while your grandkids run around, or you want to be the grandparent that's out there running around and having fun, okay, with your grandkids? And that's going to make all the pressure. And I'm talking from personal and professional experience. Like, I deal with a lot of older population right now who are moving around and getting off the meds. They have an increased independence. They're driving around. They're having fun with their grandkids. And that emotional and spiritual connection with their physical connection is priceless when I work with them. You know, I'm like, man, this is really, really crazy. So, the doctor, you know, most doctors, they put you on the meds, man. You know, they keep you locked down. It's a big business. It's big pharmaceutical. It's big business. So, you know, if you need the medicine, please, by all means, take the modern medicine.
Take it.
But if you can find a holistic approach, do that.
Now, Terrence,
do that.
You guys are listening to Terrence Howard right here on Mind Blowing Decisions, where we talk about life, love, and relationship. I am your host tonight, Nishan L. and Gigi Watson, and all of you are that constantly calling in. We see you. We want to take your call. We hope that you have something that you like to share. We hope that you're learning something. But we want to share this. You know, Terrence, you have hit on so many important levels. Talking about the senior population, and being in a community and being active and being proactive and about getting that body moving again, about being there for the great grands and, you know, for the grands and the great grands. And that's important. You got to get a plan for your life. You got to have a will. It's important that that you discover self-love. And a lot of times the reason that we get it, as Terrence was talking earlier, is because we kind of let ourselves go and go out there and hang out and start partying. I'm not telling you not to go and do and enjoy your life, but I'm just saying when you're in an indulging situation, don't overindulge. You know your limitations. Know your body, hear yourself, because you're the voice. And I want to say this, and regardless of how anyone else take this, I mean this in the most careful way possible, and I hope that you can hear me and not misunderstand me. You are the God of yourself. Guard yourself. Govern yourself. Take care of yourself. No one else can do it, as Terrence was saying. Your family suffers
right
when you get ill, and it you become a burden, not a liability. I mean, not an asset anymore, and that causes depression and so many other different things, and self worthlessness. You know, it's so easy for us to kind of like draw within, but this is the time when you get sick to really kind of just come alive and make some real choices. Eating healthy, changing, you know, from fried food to baking food or toasting, you know, just various changes. Small little things can make a difference. Terrence, thank you so much for loving yourself, for caring for you yourself, for learning the things that you needed to do. But not just that, being able to help those who are in need, like you said, you're helping and coaching. So many people in the hospitals, corporate people, you know, it doesn't matter. You're in teaching and seminars. And we thank you for coming and sharing right here with us. It's a blessing, again, to have someone who have not just been through the storm, but have learned how to ride the waves of the storm so that the storms
right
don't overtake them. We appreciate you.
I appreciate you guys for having me. Anytime you need me, just hit me up, call me, and I'll be here for you.
Recall me. I need a whole nutrition. I need a whole nutrition outline. No, I'm doing pretty
well,
good.
You know,
I
like to ask. Excuse me. I like to ask my Terrence a question. Would diabetes like to Will diabetes like if you don't take care of yourself? Would diabetes turn into cancer?
It's a correlation between two, you know, but it all depends of what your DNA profile out, what's going on with you. It's a heavy risk factor, yeah. But it all depends on what type of cancer.
Yes,
yeah,
the reason why
you can have a stroke
because my grandmother. Oh,
yeah.
The reason why I asked because my grandmother right there was a diabetic and turned into cancer too, and she died from it.
Yeah, I've heard some cases of that, you know, and cancer. Everybody is afraid of cancer. I am, you know. My father died of lymphoma years back, but also, you know, cancer can turn into some form of. I mean, diabetes can turn into some form of cancer, depending on who you are, or what it is. I never met or worked with anybody who had the two. But I've read some cases where it's a possibility, you know. But most of the time, you know, what I read, it can be, you know, genetics. It can be hereditary. All depends what's in your bloodline, you know. But we have to eat the certain foods that prevents cancer, like tomatoes and broccoli and fresh garlic and olive oil, you know, anti-inflammatory foods. And, you know, keep your, like you mentioned earlier about drinking the alkaline water. That's really good, too, for fighting cancer. So we have to control our nutrition. We can't eat, you know, like I'm off the red meat. I don't eat red meat no more because I think that a lot of cancers comes from that, whatever they feed, you know. You know, so we have to get, now it's real tricky. Here's where it gets tricky. We have to eat fresh fruits and vegetables. Now, here's the deal. When you purchase your fresh fruits and vegetables from the farmers markets, you know, local grocery stores like that, when you come home, you soak that fruit and vegetable in water so the dirt and the pesticides and all that stuff can come go to the bottom, and you clean and wash your fruits, okay? Because we, even though it's on our shelves, they're going to wash it and everything like that, but you still can't trust these supermarkets and the Food and Drug Administration to really protect the food from you, okay? So you have to be an educated consumer. When you buy fresh produce, you got to go the extra mile and wash that fruit, wash that vegetables, because, see, now you intentionally may eat the stuff, the pesticides or however they're growing. You don't know how it's growing. So that's why buying organic is so important right now. Now, you're going to spend an extra dime or two for organic. We get that. But in my studies and what I've learned over the past is that if a farmer or a grower is actually putting seed in the ground and they're using some type of manure to fertilize the seed, when that seed turned into a fruit or a vegetable, guess what? It doesn't matter how much you wash it off.
It absorbs all of that.
Right. So you have to really be careful. Now, I feel that the Food and Drug Administration, their guidelines have been outdated since 1975. They made a couple of changes since Michelle Obama was in there, made those changes.
Mm-hmm.
But it's the same freaking guidelines, you know. So you have to really pay attention to what's going on. But you're not going to be safe from everything, okay? You're just going to have to do your best diligence, be smart, eat smarter, and protect yourself and protect your family at all times. Now, you mentioned something a few minutes ago about when you're going out, you know, having fun, and, you know, you may have a cocktail here and there. Here's the key with that. Most people go out, they're diabetic, they're having fun, they get an alcohol beverage, but they don't drink equal amounts of water to it. They get another one, and they get another one. So alcohol increases the appetite. And when your appetite is increased and you're in a bar and you're in a restaurant, guess what you're going to do? You're going to order the foods you should not be eating, okay? Because now it triggers the satiety, it triggers the saltiness, it triggers the sugarness in foods. So you get a burger that's going to taste good with the cheese and all that stuff. These cheeses today is not melting, okay? It's plastic. you've seen it, you know. So it's like, what is that? You know, so yeah, it's getting scary. You know what I'm saying? So it's like you really have to pay attention. You're not going to escape everything. You know, it's not a perfect thing, but you do the best you can. You know what I mean? And it's like keep your weight down. If you're able to keep your weight down, you're doing fine, because 80% of a lot of diseases is going to start on the gut. Okay, it's
that's what
you're eating. Yeah, that's where it starts at. Cancer starts in the gut. Diabetes starts in the gut. You know, stroke starts. You know, what you put on your fork, what you put in your mouth. You have to keep your weight down, and you are what you eat. And then also control your waistline and control your belly fat. Those are the main key things right there that I would tell people. Look, we got to lose the belly fat, okay? Because that's where a lot of disease start to, you know, build up that. Over time, if you're 40 years old, you definitely need to try to control your weight. You need to try to control your stress, control your blood pressure, because when you're overweight, your blood vessels have to work 3 to 5 times harder to maintain your activities of daily living. Same thing with your vital organs, whether it's your liver, your heart, your lungs. Just sitting here talking to you right now, I'm using 70% of my body's energy. I'm not even doing anything.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So
that's the truth. Talk about it.
That's the truth. So when you're overweight, you're going to have to use some more percentages to get you out of that chair. But if you're overweight, you got a lot of excess fat that surrounding the heart, the lungs, the kidneys, the liver, the stomach, the digestive system. You see what I'm saying? So this is why I'm saying, like, I can be 52 years old, but if I was overweight, I would probably be 57.
And with the aches and pains to prove it.
Yeah, exactly. So, also, now here's the deal with weight gain and obesity and diabetes. If you're overweight and you're sitting there and you can't exercise as much, guess what's going to happen? You're going to start ending up with arthritis in the joint.
Oh, no.
Okay. You're going to potentially have hip pain, knee pain, ankle pain. You're going to have all these pains. Are you going to have pain in the wrist, pain in the finger joints? I'm like, what's going on? You got rheumatoid arthritis because you know what? You wasn't working out. You wasn't doing what you're supposed to be doing. So when one system starts to fail, it starts to affect the other system. Okay, so this is why it's important to lose the weight, eat right, exercise, and all these different things, and make sure diabetes don't kick in because, you know, when it kicks in or they put you on meds and you can't exercise as much, you're going to have stiffness in the joints. And then over time, as we age, when the stiffness of the joints, it's going to be rheumatoid arthritis, and they're going to put you on, I forgot the medicine they put you on, which is the only medicine for rheumatoid arthritis. Start with a P, I forgot it. But the side effects is weight gain. Preglazone is something like that, because I work with an older woman now who's 85 years old. And it's weight gain. You know, so I, you know.
Even
I said,
with the psychotic medicines that they put you on to control the depression, because a lot of people suffer from just, you know, they have yucky gut syndrome, and then it makes them feel like, oh, my God, what if something's really wrong with me? What do I do protect myself? What do I, you know, so they're confused.
Yeah, they're confused. And once confusion kicks in, you're going to call your doctor, or you're going to go on WebMD and diagnose yourself and come up with all type of more confusion. And you know, don't ever go to WebMD. Don't go. It's cool to look,
but do it.
Don't self-diagnose yourself, okay? Because they got all type of things for you. Might as well go and blow your brains out, okay?
Oh my god! It's serious though. It's another world. Like you said, you was doing yourself. You was being your energetic self and living your life, and all of a sudden you get hit with this one, the dry mouth. Let's talk about that. The dry mouth first, and then the blurry vision, the confusion, state of confusion, not being able to hold on to things, right? Because you drop a lot of stuff, too. A lot of people don't realize that.
For me, I was able to hold on because I was holding on to that Hennessy bottle. I ain't dropped that, you know, when it was going on.
That bottle was...
I ain't dropped that. I ain't dropped no bottle. I ain't dropped no food. I just know that I couldn't have it. So when I was going through it, when I was going through that time in Miami, I still was drinking, you know, because I'm thirsty. You know, I'm like, well, give me a Coke. Give me a pour me a drink because I know I'm stressing. I need to calm down. So the only thing I know was pour me the Hennessy. And I didn't drop nothing. But I did have.
But did that stabilize you? It did stabilize you because you had put something in.
It stabilized me, but at the end of the day, I was too tipsy to know what was really going on. I was frightened because I couldn't drive. I couldn't drive from Miami to Atlanta by myself. I was in the back seat in pain, confused, scared.
Oh, yeah.
Damn near about to pee on myself. You know what I mean? I couldn't.
Look,
so the alcohol
it ain't no
had
joke.
Me in a whole different state. And, so the dry mouth, it felt like I was just sucking on cotton ball, you know? But I had a very fruity flavor in my mouth, though, and that's what happened.
Oh, that's dangerous.
That's one of
that is.
Yeah,
when you have that fruity taste in your mouth, that means that your blood is being poisoned. And you need to be immediately hospitalized and treated.
When I got to that, when I got to my doctor, it was like I was, that was it for me. I was
you
happy
passed
to
out,
be
you
here.
Said, yeah, you was gone.
I passed,
you
yeah,
said you smelled to death.
Gone.
I recall that I smelled that same thing. You can't, ain't nothing you could tell nobody. No, you can't really explain it. Yeah, it's a different hole. Yeah.
If you,
thank
if you
God
never,
for you.
If you never. If you never smelled death before, it's a very unique smell. I smelt it 4 times in my whole life when I smelled. Like, wait a minute, the only person in this bathroom is me. And I was like, no, sir.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
Yeah,
I think I might have hit that 2 or 3 different times in my history with it. And it is frightful. And, man, I'm telling you, if you cannot be by yourself, be with somebody, because it's important when you get sick that you know that you need care. Just know that. You have to take care of yourself and have other people around you. It's important to have a support system.
Yeah,
it sure
and that's
is.
Another, it's, having a support system once you get diagnosed, or you come out of the hospital, it's imperative because you're going to have a lot. You're going to be afraid. You're going to be having a lot of questions with yourself. You're going to be, you're going to start. I talked down to myself when I got diagnosed. I was saying, you stupid. Look what you done did to us. You done killed us. You know, I was really being talking down to myself, and I had to snap out.
It's
of
a lot
that,
of
you
that.
Know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's a lot of that. Yeah. So I was like, well, you know, you're an idiot, you know, and your subconscious
mind is reporting
it. You just
want to tell the truth. You just want to die. Ain't no need of me being here. Go ahead and, just tell the truth.
But, you know what? I died in the back of the ambulance.
Yeah.
Okay,
see,
I died
in
ICU.
What?
Mm-hmm. I died. I mean, I'm talking about not physically, but.
Mm-hmm.
That diabetes was the best thing that ever happened to me.
Oh, yeah, me too. The medicine actually saved my life, and I'm so grateful for it because I wouldn't be here.
Mm-hmm.
So if you have to take the medicine, I was talking to a young man today who cares for another. We have a real serious homeless crisis here in America. And we have elderly people that are being neglected and abused, and they are to the point where spouses are walking away because they want to live the rest of their days in peace. And so if you suffer from dementia, Alzheimer's, and any other disease that requires someone to have to continuously take care of you, about 10 years, I'm telling you, is the max on most caregivers because they burned out. They're burned out, and they're tired. And so we're trying to set up facilities around the world that will be able to care for these folks, that's being displaced, that's going through these kind of things, and give them the hope and the care that they need, like being able to take them back out on trips and things like that. I think that when people get older, especially people that have had illnesses, the diagnosis with illnesses and have to take medication, they need a change of pace. They need a new scene. And so taking them on a care, the ferry rides and, going across the water or something, or taking them to something of old that they can recall is important to their well-being. And I think we miss that because we get secluded, we get locked up, we back up away from people. And then, because older people, when they get sick, it's a little embarrassing, at the behavior that comes with that. And so most folk don't want, to be embarrassed. And so they want to love their family members and be with them, but it's too much of a hassle, whether it's a mental or whether it's a physical, disability. These things are real, and I love what I do every day, all day, and I can't get enough of it because it's real life. We're alive and we're here. And if we don't talk about these issues and let people know that even famous people, they had a struggle, they had a journey. So I say journal your eating habits, pay attention to what you're intaking. You know, like Gigi, she air fries things now, so she can't eat certain food. And so this is important how we prepare our food as well. Terrence Hutchison, you guys, I'm just flabbergasted at you died that, and after all this time, and excuse me for saying Howard, but Hutchison, you're here for such a time as this. You don't even know how many people you're helping now that you can't see. Like you said, you gave how many, what was the count of Americans that's been affected with diabetes?
30
what was million. The count? 30 million.
People.
That's only that's been diagnosed. That's not even the people that's walking around and people that are waking up to find out that loved ones have not woken up. It's a serious.
That's right.
Thank you so much.
Yeah.
Oh,
it's a big deal. It's a big deal. If diabetes is, you know, it's running rampant right now, but it's only because of, I feel, well, number one, genetics. Number two is eating habits. We live, Western society is the most unhealthy society in the whole world. Everything is fast and supersized and big gulps and all that stuff like that. And we eat our food in a chaotic society. We don't eat our food in a calm state. Like the people in France, they sit down and enjoy their meals. They eat their dessert first now.
They eat their dessert first now.
But our society is packed with sugar. It's packed with big portion sizes. It's packed with a fast-paced society, and it's just affecting us overwhelmed. But, you know, this is what they do to keep you locked in some type of medicine for whatever type of disease it is. This is why the pharmaceutical companies is, you know, making big business. You know, it's close to $400 billion a year. So, you know, you do the best you can. That's all you can do is one day at a time and you control your stress. And whatever in your control, you control it. What's not, you let it go. You know,
there
you
go.
Do the best you can. And keep God first and, you know, have a great support. And keep yourself in a loving environment. That's that. You know, anything that's causing you stress, you got to remove it.
Thank you so much again, Terrence. I mean, I know that my ears, and I'll speak for Gigi, has been truly enlightened. And I know that my listening audience, wherever they are, and there are many all over the world, because as you you travel and you're through the Carolinas and through Florida and through Atlanta, I've been all around those areas, and I've been seeing you. And to have you here with us tonight, it's just, you know, full circle for me, because
yes, great.
I actually have followed you a little bit over the last 3 years, and I don't get wrapped up into people's lives, but when people make life changes like that, and they can talk about it, you know, I was listening to Wayne Brady talk about his depression and how his daughter and his wife would not allow him to give up. And I just thank God every day I fought for my marriage, because my husband was that for me. And even though it got tough and rough with, you know, just life, we had to figure some things out, because I changed as a person when I got sick. I was no longer the woman that he married. And, you know, and it was a lot, you know, it was a lot to be able to pick up the pieces of your life by choice. So,
yeah,
I'm
not
grateful.
By default.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you something. A lot of times when disease hit, depending on who you are and what type it is, it actually come in to kind of like save your body from you.
Mm-hmm.
If you're doing too much harm to it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the truth, you know, and I was overindulging because I was depressed. I was, you know, dealing with a whole lot of stuff. And you know, now when I see some guy that's
and
angry, I'll tell him, you must be depressed.
You was dealing with a divorce, you said?
Yeah, but I initiated that. You know, I wouldn't.
But even still, divorce is a death. Let me tell you, I've been there.
I think for me, the divorce, the part of the divorce was the financial part, dissolving everything. You know, it wasn't about the emotional thing for me. So, you know, you're a young man. I'm 39 years old and going through all that stuff like that. But, you know, for 3 years, I tried to run him wild. And my body was like, okay, I'm tired of you right now. So it just started going into survival mode, and that's what it did. Is I hit a brick wall. But that was the best thing that happened to me. Now I'm able to, you know, speak to countless people around the world about diabetes and not just coping or maintenance. I just did this syndicated television show yesterday on Sister Circle in Atlanta. It went all over the country. They're well known. It's on my page. You can Google it on YouTube and everything like that.
Cool.
And I talked about the importance of diabetes reversal. And it was Tuesday. So 2 days ago, syndicated radio. Now I'm doing, I came home and did a podcast interview in the UK. Now I'm doing you guys. And syndicated.
Yeah.
So, you know, so trying to get the word out there about health and wellness, fitness, nutrition, diabetes prevention and reversal, not maintenance.
And reversal.
Reversal, that's the whole thing, man. If you're going to go broke with diabetes, okay? You're going to go broke, okay? You're going to be on the poverty line, you know, any type of illness, okay? You're going to go broke.
Mm-hmm.
Even with insurance, you're still going to spend money, you know? So it's just a big deal. Like, I haven't been sick. Since the diabetes scare since 2010. I had a sniffle one day. I was like, what is this? I had a headache. I'm like, what is this? You know, so I don't really get sick anymore. But, you know, I'm eating right. I'm trying to do everything I'm supposed to be doing because it's a business for me now, you know. And
Yes.
If I'm not taking care of myself.
Like you said, change your mess into your message, and that's so important.
Yeah.
A lot of people can't make that transition and monetize, you know, and make this is a lifestyle, and it's not just a lifestyle, but it's the way of living. I mean, you cannot continue to keep abusing yourself. Like, I abused myself different than you. I wasn't into the nightclub and drinking and things like that. I was not eating. I had an issue with food. I didn't have a good relationship with food, period. And because we had a huge family, I was the youngest for about 9 years. We got another child. Two more kids came after me. And it just became me being big sister and feeding everybody. It wasn't about me taking care of myself. It was about taking care of everybody else. And I neglected myself. And out of that neglect, the stress of knowing that I wasn't where I wanted to be or where I should have been for the sake of always being there for everybody else. And that could be a very eye-opener for a lot of people. Always there for everyone else except yourself is not right. It's not the way to live.
I'm going to tell you how the way to look at it. When you get on the plane, the flight attendant said, in case of emergency, if the mask come down, you put it on yourself first. You know, same rule.
I had to take my first flight to find that out.
Yeah. Look, it's the same rule in life. You got to save yourself first in order for you to save anybody else, okay? It's the same thing.
Terrence practicing, y'all. That was real talk, you guys. Look, I just want to come. Where you at? But can you cook for me for about a good week? Just show me the methods of the kitchen so I can come back home and take care of me just a little bit better. Mm-hmm. I want to eat clean.
Anything you need,
I
got it. You know, you can go.
That's awesome.
If you really want more information about who I am and what I do, you just go to the website, and everything is right there, you know.
Tell them what the website is, Terrence.
www.yourbestlifestyles.com. Or follow us on follow me on Facebook, LinkedIn, Instagram. You know, we're connected. I follow you, but you got too many friends right now. You can't accept me as a friend. So you're going to have to drop somebody, put me on.
Oh, you know they drop.
You better not drop me.
If I ain't talking to you, you're gone. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Thank you, guys. Right here, Mind Blowing Decision. I did not plan for this show to be this long. I am super excited that you had the strength to give us all that you have given us. It truly has been beneficial. I could not do this without you. I'm going to open this phone line up real quick. I'm going to take call of 7483. I believe this is my people out there in Virginia, Florida. So, caller, you're on the line. Caller 7483. All right. So what about caller 5374? You're on the air. Great evening. Great evening. Welcome.
Hello. I just wanted to tell you guys that your interview tonight was definitely informative. And Terrence, where can we follow you again at?
My website is www.yourbestlifestyles.com. That's the website, and I have everything on there, social media links, podcasts for more information, services, recipes, everything is on the website.
Thank you
so
much.
You also can find Terrence information on our website, Faces of Success Radio 101 FM. Go there, download this, re-listen to this, share this out. Tell folk that, look, we got a certified exercise therapist who has beat the odds and survived type 2 diabetes. And he is changing the game by reversing the effects. Now, everything cannot be covered all here tonight, but truly I believe if you connect with that power ring, I believe that you will be able to benefit from it. Truly, his life is a testament to that, and we appreciate the travels, the nutrition journey, your own personal journey, and self-development and self-love. We appreciate you, brother, so much. Is there anything else you want to share with the people before we end our show? Because it's truly, what caller, where are you calling from? I'm sorry. Give me your name. Where are you calling from? The young lady that just spoke.
Hello, my name is Tina Rose, and I'm calling from Atlanta.
Hey, Atlanta. Right. I'm in Atlanta. We're here in Atlanta, A-Town.
Yes, I love Atlanta.
Yeah, so,
I was out there so much. Oh, my God. I always wanted to be there, but I'll never want to live. But I really enjoy Atlanta.
Yeah, it's pretty. It has its moment. I love Atlanta. Atlanta has been really good for me. You know, it has its moments for me. You know, I can't complain. It's a lot of rain lately, no snow. I'm from New York, so as long as it ain't snowing, I'm good. But holding out, final words, you know, I would tell, leave with your listeners, is to just take baby steps one day at a time. Small victories count, believe me. And trust the process. If when you're thinking things are not working, they actually are. And remember the footprints in the sand. I always share it because when you feel like you're walking alone and you only see those one pair of steps in the sand, that's when you know God is carrying you. You know what I'm saying? Because, you know, like I said, your message comes from your mess. So whatever you're going through, it's a message in there. It's a blessing in there. It's a silver lining. If you want to know why certain things have happened to you, really sit quietly and pray, analyze everything, write things down, journal, and meditate, and you're going to find your answers. It happened for me because I didn't know what was going on with me. And when, over the years, I started exercising and doing what I had to do. And you got to eliminate things and people out of your life if you want to really, really find answers about you and self-development. So don't be afraid to tell people no. Don't be afraid to let people go. Don't be afraid, you know what I'm saying, because you got to tell people no and bye. You know, and everybody got their hand out, but you got to take care of you. And that's what I would tell people, you know, just one day at a time, and what may work for you ain't going to work for anybody else. And, you know, find your voice and find your journey and just keep going, man. And last thing I'm going to tell you is, like, it's not going to be easy. You're going to have some days you want to give up. You're going to have some days you want to cry. You're going to be emotional. You want to, you know, you want it done now. And, you know, it's going to be a spiritual, emotional, psychological, a financial, and a physical journey. You can't have one without the others, okay?
That's right.
And it's going to be an issue, but trust the process. It's going to get better. Believe me when I tell you this, it's going to get better. My own doctor right now is looking at me for help. You know, it's crazy, you know, but with that being said, you know, I just want to appreciate you guys for having me on the podcast, on your show. I was
You're
looking forward
welcome.
To I came home, and I was like, let's do it. And I don't care about the time. We talk all night if you had the time, you know, because this is what I do. You know?
Awesome.
Yeah. So I really appreciate the opportunity, and I hope it goes out to the masses and people can really learn from it and from your platform, and we can help people in the long run all over the world. So thank you so much. I'm very grateful for the opportunity.
You're welcome, and thank you so much.
You're very welcome.
I want to take another caller just before we get off the air. Caller 7387, you're live on the line. Would you like to leave a comment or make a suggestion or anything? Can we hear from you and know where you're calling in from? Caller 7387. All right. Let's try this number. Caller 1488.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, we hear you.
Yeah.
Hi.
Oh, yes, Gorman, Michelle, I am a first-time caller, and I just enjoyed the young man talking about diabetes and how he reversed it. Thank you so much for the information. Very informative. Very, and I will be listening more often.
And this is my lieutenant, Medicine Bear, and he is protege of Dr. Sable. So we appreciate him, and thank you so much. And he's all the way out there in Tennessee, so we got callers everywhere.
Thank you. George,
appreciate
you guys. I really did. Thank you, young man.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Thank you.
All right, so you guys, I'm telling you, y'all have been listening to the wonderful story and transformation and liberty and self-awareness of the phenomenal therapist. I got to call you what it is, the certified fitness and nutritious specialist. Oh, my God. Like, I mean, motivational speaker, you name it. This man has truly lived his life so that he can help other people. And 8 years ago, he found himself in a whole different situation. And today, he's elevated and he's out here spreading the message that there is a reversal for diabetes. And we appreciate you so much, the wonderful Terrence Hutchison. And oh my God,
we sure do.
So we'll keep in touch with you and have you back as many times as you want to come back, and let's get these people well.
Yeah, I appreciate that. Let me tell you something. Anytime y'all need me to come on, you know, just hit me up, man. I got you covered.
All right. Y'all heard it right here. The wonderful exclusive interview with Terrence Hutchison right here on Mind Blowing Decisions, where we talk about life, and relationship and everything else in between. When we're going to show you how to get healthy, wealthy, we're going to show you how to live a free life of with mental clarity. We're going to show you how to make some choices in your life that will, again, maybe cause you to say goodbye to some and hello to some new things, right? Because you got to take care of you. We are just so grateful to have you all listening and calling in with all your cares and concerns. We appreciate you so much. Gigi, I'm going to give the floor to you real quick. You got something you want to share?
No.
Gigi usually is, don't have a lot to say when I put on the spot, but I appreciate you again so much, Terrence. You guys, it's been a wonderful night. More love to you. I can't wait to get back on the grind with Terrence because we got some work to do. I'm all the way out here in Reno, Nevada, and I'm spreading the word about diabetes now. I'm going to be spreading the word about the reversal of diabetes because I think it's more important to know that there is a way out of this.
Michonne, yeah. Wait a minute. Okay, I have something to say. For everybody, just take care of yourself.
There you go. That's what it is. You all have a wonderful night. Terrence, you take us out of here.
Okay.
Once again, I am Terrence Hutchinson. I'm a certified fitness nutrition specialist, certified exercise therapist, corrective exercise specialist, motivational speaker, author of 3 books, part owner, senior vice president of Define Ones magazine. My website is www.yourbestlifestyles.com. Follow me there. All my information is on the website. And make sure you go and look at the clip from Tuesday's episode of Sister Circle. I was live on the syndicated television show right now that's all over the country right now. And it's all about diabetes reversal. Now I'm with you guys. So make sure that you share it out. It's on my Facebook page, Terrence Hutchinson. And we're just trying to get the word out about health and wellness, not just about diabetes, but any type of lifestyle conditions that can be limiting your quality of living. Because once we know, it's like if you get sick and you get injured, you know, it puts the pressure on somebody else to take care of you. Okay, now you potentially become a liability in somebody's lives. You know, I don't know about you guys, but I don't want nobody feeding me, picking me up, dropping me off, clothing me, and all that stuff.
Did y'all hear that?
Amen to that.
Yeah.
Did y'all hear that? New York,
you
said he don't want nobody.
I don't want nobody doing it because I'm a super independent guy. You know, I don't want to be relying on anybody else. That's one of my phobias in life. I don't want to grow old, ill and in pain. You know, I'd rather just be older and living a good pain-free life and die of natural causes. So you know, that's one of my ills because I think I may not get the quality of care that I may need if something happens to me, you know what I'm saying? So it's like, and, you know, just live for your last name. You know, it's like if you should die tonight, what would they say about you? Okay, what is your legacy? What are you going to leave for the world to know? I want people to know that I was here. Okay, so doing these interviews, you guys having podcasts, if something happened, they're gonna say, you know, she did this or she did that, and you want to leave that mark. You don't want to be known as a prick, and nobody don't got nothing to say about you. You know what I'm saying? So, I'm be honest, you know, and you know,
no,
so you know, you
no.
just yeah, you want to leave an imprint, you know, in somebody's lives, you know, and right now we have a great opportunity doing that on a mass scale. And so it's important, you know, it's not going to be easy. Some days are going to be really, really challenging. I'm just going to be honest with you. It's going to be really hard some days. You know, you want to know, is it worth it? Why are you doing this? Is it in vain? And then you're going to have days like today, like right now, then you feel in your spirit, in your heart, that what you're doing is worth it. So thank you for having me.
Oh, my God. You guys. I'm going to take us out real quick with this
You were tuned in to Mind Blowing Decisions with DJ Success every Wednesday at facesofsuccessradio.com.
That's it for us tonight. You have a wonderful evening, and we'll see you next week. Stay tuned to Faces of Success Radio 101 FM. And don't forget, we also have our Break the Silence Tour 2020 starting April 3rd, going into Stockton, California. The information, you can go look up Break the Silence Tour 2020, and you can get more information or visit our website, Faces of Success Radio 101 FM. We love you so much. Be blessed.